News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are we back here yet? Are we talking on the radio?
And should we talk some more
there
about
reality? We are.
We reality?
Just came back on air.
Oh, hey, look. You know, we're starting the second hour of the History Show.
Say hello, everyone.
Hello there. And you're being English.
Yes.
Lovely. Yes. Stop it. Anyway, we're going to have a history moment. You want to have a history moment in English?
Yes,
let's
do
that.
We have an English, yes.
Step at?
Queen's English.
I see you've been watching too much news about the Queen wandering around.
I just a minute.
What's in that little purse anyway? I have no idea. She probably got 38 in there loaded. Look out. Probably. Anyway, so the history moment is produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance page. Her topic today is about how they first flew U.S. airmail planes at night.
Lighting the way for airmail to El Paso. In the late 1920s, the U.S. government wanted to improve airmail service by getting the mail from coast to coast faster than before, which now meant airmail pilots would have to fly at night. But navigation for the early aviator was antiquated and difficult. Pilots would usually follow the railroad tracks along with a map as their main source of navigation. This form of navigation was impossible and deadly when flying at night. Nearly 1 in 10 early airmail pilots died during the early days of the Postal Service's new airmail initiative, and emergency landings were common. There just had to be a safer way. So the U.S. Department of Commerce designed a new system of lighted towers, inland lighthouses, you might say, with gigantic concrete arrows at their bases pointing the way, which allowed air pilots to navigate without depending solely on railroad tracks and landmarks to find their way. By 1930, L.C. Elliott, Airways Extension Supervisor for the Department of Commerce, proposed a plan to complete the southwestern section from Dallas to El Paso and on to San Diego. While in El Paso meeting with city leaders and reporters, Elliott and his pilot C.I. Burnett said the plan was to complete the link to El Paso in about 2 months, with lighthouses every 10 miles at a cost of $400 a mile. Soon, airmail and commercial flights were going to be able to travel into the evening hours along the Great Highway of Light. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
I can hear Bernie playing the cymbals in there.
Yeah, he's flying the plane.
He's doing good stuff there. All right, you got that history moment going there for the History Alliance.
That's right. If you're looking for more El Paso area history, and then you need to visit the top our top partners in history on Facebook, and that's the El Paso History Alliance Facebook page that is full of historic pictures, historical information, and history preservation updates. And it's managed by Max Grossman and Mark Stone. And one of the oldest Facebook pages is Remember in El Paso When. It's home to an amazing number of historic pictures, stories, and so much more. And that page is managed by Barbara Given-Bainey and her team.
And she's known as BGB.
BGB.
Also, you know, she could use some help over there. I think they're looking for some people, dedicated people, who want to chain themselves to their computer for a couple hours. Well, you got to focus.
That's true, yeah.
Because if you're going to do it right like she does, you got to actually sit there and talk to your computer and approve people coming on or off or posts or whatever. And they do that because they are a group, and as a group, they manage who comes on and not. She could use some help on that. She got some good people now, though. Margaret Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louie, and Ken Weiss and Craig Hayes. But if you got something that you want to, you got some time to volunteer and do something good for the history world, talk to her, yeah. Messenger on Facebook. That's because that's where you'll be.
That's where she'll be.
Should we move on now?
Yes, we should.
It's History of Aviation today,
to
and we're doing
more.
What we can. With the War Eagles Air Museum, we got the crowd in here and knows what's going on out there. If not, they're fooling a lot of people, but they're in charge, so we hope they're doing this right. And so we got Cliff Bossy sitting here in the middle of all these people, and then we've got Dan Taylor on one side and Mike Epp on the other side, and these guys are doing their thing. Oh, that's right. You can wave to the camera now.
Yes, you're on there. There you are.
How about that? And we have stirred up people on the phone. They did remember the phone number, and the guy's name is Alan. Alan, we got you on the radio. What's up?
Not much, sir. I just wanted to make a comment and give a little information and ask one question. One of the comments I want to make was he talked about the Siege 34 Choctaw. Well, that was the Army version. I figure out what the Marine Corps version is. And I was in a general support aviation repair company, well, there were transportation companies in Germany, and we had Siege 34s. And so I wasn't a crew chief or anything, so I don't have, I flew on them a few times, but that's about it. Just thought it'd be information you'd like to have.
Do you ever get out to the museum, Alan?
Yeah, I've been out there twice. And what I wanted to comment on, the thing I liked about the museum was they had a P-51. They had the ammo trays and all that open, so you can see how the guns were mounted and how the ammo went in. I thought that was a pretty good exhibit. And the other thing I liked was the German Liaison aircraft, the Heisler Stork they had there. I don't know if they still have it, but I thought they're pretty rare. So
you got that?
That was pretty neat.
Still there?
And
it's still there. We talked about it.
The question I wanted to ask was, what model Huey do they have? Because I flew on Hueys in Vietnam as a door gunner and armament guy on Hueys in Vietnam.
Actually, that particular Huey is a Victor model, which I had never heard of. I was in the Army and was around H model Hueys when I was in the Army.
When I first went, they still in Germany, they still were flying some A models, but they had A's, B's, C's, which were mostly used as gunships. They had the D's, which were pretty weak. They had the same engine as B's and C's had. That was an L-11. Then they had the L-13 on the H. Then they came out with a Mike model, which was like a C and B, but it had a rotor system the Cobra had, and it had a L-13 on it also. Then they had another model came out. And then they had an N model, the Navy and the Air Force flew.
I got lost in the alphabet there.
Yeah. This was a Victor model, and it was called a Victor straight from the factory just because it was built with a hoist. It was a sling. It was used for medevac.
Yeah, yeah. I seen those advertised, but I never seen one in. They were thinking about getting them for, like, pararescue and stuff.
Well, they got all kinds of stuff out there. You know, you can stop out there and talk to them.
Yeah, sure. We've got a display, a medevac, a dust off display that Victor is that Victor model is the center of.
Oh, okay.
Right next to OH-6 as well, and we've got the Duck Commando, the V-100 Duck Commando armored vehicle that's out there as well. But
yeah, you talked about your A-7. You said that's is that a Navy model?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the Navy A-7. That's
so
correct.
It's set up for four guns, and because the Air Force one has carries a Vulcan M-61. And I know I think the Navy ones, the guns on them, it's Mark 11s.
Well, the
I was
the
EOD
one
guy also. We had to do all the ejection seats and bomb racks and all that type of stuff. And like you talk about a B-52, they had a bomb trainer on it where they had the internal racks, which were all mechanical, and we had to work on how to release bombs and load bombs and all that type of stuff on it. We had one at Naval Ordnance Station at Stumpneck at India Naval Ordnance Station when I was an EOD instructor there. So,
did we get to your whole agenda, Alan? You had all kinds of things you wanted to do. Is that it?
No, that's enough.
Okay. Okay, good.
I tied up enough, and I want to thank you for your time.
Indeed. Stop out there and talk to these guys. They'll take all day with you. We only got a few minutes, so we're going to let you go. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. A lot of people out there listening are very knowledgeable and stuff. What do you got?
We're getting a question. It's from Michael. No, it's a little bit not so much about planes, but Michael Perez was asking, can organizations hold special events at the museum, or are you having any special events coming up this year?
Oh, I've been to some out there. You got some. You push the planes back a little bit,
Scrape
some space available on the floor, and bring in a caterer, right?
It's cool, too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. We've got space for lease go ahead. We've got space for
they're watching you. What are you doing?
For retirement parties, we've had fundraisers out there. But in the summertime, on the weekends, we try to have we work with car shows. You know, I think as a matter of fact, I think the Corvette Club is coming out tomorrow morning between 10 and 12, and it's always fun to have car show people come out. The Mustang Club has been out there. We have just different things that are involved with the normal open hours of the museum when different clubs get together. Veterans groups will show up. The motorcycle veterans guys will come out quite often. And then, but we do have banquet facilities. We'll move some airplanes out of the way and set up some tables and chairs, get caterers.
Ooh, wedding.
For wedding receptions, memorial services, retirement parties, Christmas parties, all that. And if this is the Mike Perez, I think it is. Hi, Mike. Glad to hear from you.
A shill.
Why not? All right, let's get into some of the pictures that we have here. We Yeah, I think we're ready for that. Andrew, where are we at now? You did the Lockheed P-38. How about the MiG-15 Midget? You got the P-38 up? Okay, talk about that one. It's about to hit the fan over here.
P-38 was an interceptor designed just prior to World War II. Twin engine, high altitude. It had some issues in the European theater of operations, but it was had a superb record in the Pacific theater of operations. Pilots loved it for having both long range and the reliability of two engines. And it is the type of airplane that was used to shoot down the Japanese Admiral Yamamoto, which was a long-range mission set up to intercept a particular airplane at a particular time, 1,000 miles away from the base.
And they got him. Hey, don't mess with those people.
That was a big bust. Yeah.
So you got all kinds of airplanes out there. Did this one actually fly in that kind of world? It wasn't this, it isn't that plane.
No, ours was probably stateside as a trainer. It later became a racing airplane, which Dan would know more about the racing history of that airplane.
Right. It was up at Reno, the Reno Air Races. It had a little accident. Mr. McGuire purchased it, and so we've got it on display now. There was a version of the P-38 that was all black. It was called the Night Lightning, and ours sort of resembles that, but it's not exactly the true example of it, but at least it's a close resemblance to it. The people decided that they want to race it by reducing the weight. They took some of the components off. They did some alterations and modifications, but unfortunately the design was not the what was needed to go against the single-engine high-performance airplanes, but it came down 1 year, I think it was at 88 to the Amigo Air Show, and then took it out to the McGuire's Ranch, and then we brought it back out to the museum where it sits.
Wow. Amazing.
So when are you going to do another air show, anybody? It's not up to you guys, but, I mean, would that be crazy to do? Who has to decide to do that?
I don't know. I think DOD was always the big driving force behind the Amigo Air Show, and it was hosted there at the Biggs Army Airfield. And, boy, that was a great air show. I sure enjoyed them.
I went a bunch of times.
Yeah,
but they had one or so out of your location for whatever reason.
Yeah, they did, and I wasn't in town for that one. But I've heard it was a great air show, and I've heard it logistically wasn't a very great air show.
Yeah, I had trouble.
Well, there was only a 2-lane highway at the time, and how are you going to ship tens of thousands of people back and forth in a timely fashion? I don't know, but I'm not being critical. I wasn't even there. But
no, tell them to come a week early.
Yeah. And camp out.
What's up?
So when are you going to put an airship out there? You always have, occasionally, you'll have the airships that come across country and they spend the night over at Santa Teresa.
Well, we haven't had them spend the night. They're wonderful to watch. The Fuji guy, I see him
come
back and forth.
Yeah, Fuji and the insurance company and some others. Yeah,
particularly in the winter when the weather's the most benign, when they're going cross country. They, you know, the all the 18-wheelers, you've ever noticed El Paso so busy in the winter?
Yeah.
Because I-40 and everything's all those closed other off, ones are closed up north, so they all come through here. And the same with the blimps.
Yeah, the pass at El Paso is the lowest point of the Rocky Mountains. So anytime that they would have the airships come across, even the Hindenburg came, there's a photograph of the Hindenburg flying over the Franklins.
Yeah. Seriously, really?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Find that one.
And so they have a ground crew that comes and they'll set up a mast and then the airship will come in and they'll spend the night there or 1 or 2 days. I think maybe whenever they start having more public events at football stadiums or something like that, they'll start coming back across again.
Well, I just saw, speaking of airships, I just saw one in Europe that they've created. It's a huge luxury airship again, and I was like, you know, it just blows me away. I think it would be cool to do because I almost had an opportunity to ride the Goodyear blimp years ago, and that is just fantastic.
But you're at the whim of the weather for sure.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Well, you have to drive around. Where's the good weather? Let's go there.
If you're going east, I think it's a good airplane, a good ride. With the winds that we have here, the prevailing winds are out of the west. So,
yeah, but can you imagine one of those things in one of our dust storms?
Oh,
they don't want to be here then.
Oh, no.
They don't even want to be on the ground.
They'll fly a long way to get out of that.
Their ground speed is very, very slow. And so the vehicles tear down the tower, drive to the next town and set up the tower, and then finally the airship shows up.
Oh, so they have a chase team.
Yeah, they have to.
The chase team for the towers and everything.
The hookups for those things aren't around anymore.
Well, no, I know. I didn't realize that. So yeah. That's cool.
All right, we'll come back and do some more airplanes in a minute or two. And we will take a call because, I mean, Alan had all kinds of interesting questions.
Yeah.
Throw that number out there. Why don't you?
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home Team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
This is Andrew J. Polk with News Radio 690 KTSM. The COVID-19 coronavirus is still spreading in our community, and anyone who has been exposed or is showing symptoms is asked to get tested. Information on free testing is available at epstrong.org. Find details on how to register for the vaccine at epcovidvaccine.com. eprenthelp.org has resources for tenants and landlords on rental assistance, and epbusinessstrong.org has details on grant and loan funding. From the News Radio 690 KTSM News Desk, I'm Andrew J. Polk.
Prescription products require completion of an online consultation with an independent healthcare provider and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. See website for more information.
Should Viagra really cost $90 per pill? We don't think so. RexMD has FDA-approved generic Viagra medication of that little blue pill starting at just $2. Why pay huge pharmacy prices when you can get the same results for a fraction of the cost? Give your bank account a break. Just fill out a brief survey, and if appropriate, you'll get a starter pack prescription of industry-leading generic Viagra medication. Just call 800-426-9561. We've helped over 100,000 men with their sex lives and with getting prescription correct. Your consultation is free, there's no doctor office visits, and your shipping is always free. Get your starter pack now. Call 800-426-9561. That's 800-426-9561. Again, 800-426-9561.
Does your child seem overly forgetful, always have a messy room, or take forever to get ready? While some of that is normal, it could also be a sign of a learning and thinking difference. At Understood, we're here to help. With 24 million visitors to our site each year, we help people with learning and thinking differences discover their potential and find community. Visit understood.org/iHeart to learn more about how we can help you or someone you love.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Getting back to War Eagles in a second here. We got to tell you who's coming in here next weekend, June 19th. Author Harry Heribert von Filitsch. I said that close. I don't know.
He's actually
going to come in here. He's from North Carolina. But he's on our program to connect spy stories from the Mexican Revolution. He found National Archive documents. He found them himself showing the money trail from Germany to Pancho Villa. He found the documents and other Mexican revolutionary figures as well. Harry will be joined by the German military historian Florian Weidel. We'll ask him how to say his name. Together, they will flesh out how Germans got Pancho Villa to attack the U.S. in Columbus. Apparently, that was a German thing. New Mexico, it is New Mexico, of course, but it was causing they also infiltrated the punitive expedition. And their efforts ended up losing World War I for the Kaiser.
And it was Florian Weidel.
Weidel. That's what I said.
No, you said Weidel.
I said Weidel. You say tomato. whatever. The dude, Florian's going to show up.
Can I get a divorce?
He'll be by phone, though. He'll be by phone. Don't worry about it. You can divorce me every Saturday afternoon.
I know, I do.
And show back up next week.
We're not even married.
June 26th. What is happening in space history these days? This is going to be fun. Our guest is Chris Orwall, director of the New Mexico Museum of Space History. He talks about his museum and also about the recent worldwide space history of the last few years. Like, what are the billionaires doing? They're shooting themselves into space. We'll find out what that's about. You got some more to talk about?
Well, yeah. July 3rd, we have the El Paso Museum of History. Curator Erica Marin is the guest to describe the El Paso Museum of History and what is on display right now. July 10th, we have Executive Director Janae Field, and she will bring some of the board members from the Frontera Land Alliance to update us on the Kastner Range story and revisit that history. And then July 17th, we got the El Paso County Historical Commission is hosting a webinar to talk with this topic being 24 reasons historic preservation is good for your community. Lessons learned across 10 citywide studies on the economic, social, and environmental impacts of historic preservation. And we'll hear all about that project.
That's just a short title of what they're going to do.
I know.
No big deal. All right.
Be a good show.
War Eagles Air Museum. Talk about the MiG. You got a couple of MiG pictures here, but the one we're looking at first would be the 15, and then the next would be the 21. So who wants to talk about the MiG 15 midget?
MiG 15 midget, it's a two-seat version of the MiG 15 fighter, which was a surprise when we ran into it in the Korean War. Ours is actually a Polish-built limb. All of our MiGs are, well, the 15s are all Polish-built. The two-seater, its unfortunate claim to fame is it's the airplane that Yuri Gagarin was killed in. If anybody knows who Yuri Gagarin was, he was the first man in space.
Yeah.
Very well-respected individual.
He was a test pilot, right?
He was initially a test pilot.
Yeah.
He was somebody that was incredibly likable, somebody that was incredibly respected, and was killed due to some vices that airplane has. It was a surprise when we first ran into it. However, when we acquired the first one that we could test, Chuck Yeager was one of the pilots among many that tested it and basically described it as a dog of an airplane. It has some nasty capabilities. If you get too high angle of attack, it'll blank out the tail. It tends to stall, go into an inverted spin, and that's what killed Yuri Gagarin.
Kind of like a Yugo of fighter planes?
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
You look at it. I mean, it looks very Russian, especially the early days of that time.
So in the war theater, they did not know this plane was coming?
Oh, they had inklings. They did not know. They did not have enough details on it.
Spying has gotten a lot better now, I'm guessing.
Well, yeah, but trying to spy on the Soviet Union was always an issue.
Yeah.
The airplane came about because the Labour government in England sold 50 Nain, Rolls-Royce Nain engines to the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union reverse-engineered them, used them to power their fighter airplanes. We have both a Rolls-Royce Nain and what I refer to as a Nainsky on display, the Russian version.
See what happens when you get in trouble for greed. It happens a lot.
It does.
All right,
Rolls-Royce still builds motors for planes,
and the next
they?
Airplane, the MiG-21... Go ahead and answer that if you want.
MiG-21 was an interceptor that was built by the Soviet Union. It was another nasty surprise to us at first in Vietnam till we learned how to fight against the airplane. Being a delta-wing airplane in a fight, it is going to bleed energy very rapidly. So knowing that, going against it with something like an F-4 Phantom, you can best it once you know the airplane. Yeah. Ours came to us via the West German government. After the unification of Germany, they no longer had need for the former Soviet airplanes. And this one was provided by the commanding general of the German forces at Fort Bliss in the 80s.
Now, do you just put up your hand and say, hey, generals, if you got an extra airplane, let me know? I mean, how does this work? Or do you have to say, hey, general, I've got $50,000, I want to buy that thing? How does that work?
I don't know how it works, but we got a T-37 from the Germans.
So you don't know how
and
the
we also have works? We have some air defense artillery equipment that's in front of the parking area that they donated to us whenever they pulled out of Fort Bliss.
So those are just total donations.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yes.
You ever had to buy an airplane? You must have.
Well, I don't know of the back behind scenes of what goes on in the museum. I'm as far as buying a foreign aircraft, I don't think the museum has.
So you, everything's donated. That's my question. Okay. No, that's cool.
Donated or traded. You know, sometimes we have more of one type of airplane, and we'll facilitate an aircraft trade.
I see.
Just to move stuff around, and we're always open to that with other museums.
We're talking about the War Eagles Air Museum. We've got all kinds of people in here. Cliff Bossy's sitting in the middle. Dan Taylor's on one end. Got Mike Epp on the other end. And we're going to keep talking, but we've got to take a break.
Okay.
So there. Shall we be back in a moment?
We shall be back.
Andrew, hit the button.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549. If you're a local business owner, you know how important it is to be here for your customers. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson runs a small business in El Paso, too. And Ralph Dickerson's here to help you protect your small business. Give him a call, 915-581-0000. Or come by his office, located at 497 North Wrestler, Suite A, right at the corner of Wrestler and Orizaba. Stop in today. Call 581-0000 for State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson.
It's all about the nose. It's your air filter, the first line of defense against bacteria and viruses. If too many germs get stuck in your nose, guess what? You get sick. That's why it's so important to keep your nose clean, just like washing your hands. Nasal irrigation gets rid of germs by rinsing the nasal cavity, but neti pots are hard to use and, frankly, kind of gross. Now there's a better way to keep your nose clean and help your body protect itself. It's called Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to flush out allergens, mucus, bacteria, and viruses. Millions use Navage for fast, all-natural relief from sinus congestion and allergies, and to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and comes with an absolute guarantee of satisfaction. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Now it's time to start cleaning your nose with Navage. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
The Sentinel Group sponsors this paid advertisement for legal services and is responsible for legal services. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-399-5446.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-399-5446. 800-399-5446. That's 800-399-5446.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you ready? This week only in El Paso, Inc.? No, you weren't ready.
I had it over here.
Oh, okay.
The community honors El Paso frontline healthcare workers. Photos and more from the award ceremony at Southwest University Park.
A drought continues to grip the American West. This year's irrigation season is bringing little water to the El Paso area farmers and water utilities.
The board of the city's largest school district looks radically different than it did before the pandemic, topping the list of its most pressing concerns, finding a new superintendent.
El Paso's Business Journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home or business delivery.
To receive the El Paso Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. Hosol Science talks about how drivers are hitting the road more now that the pandemic seems to be winding down. Gasoline prices are soaring with an average of $3 a gallon in the borderland, but that's not the only reason price hikes in El Pasoans are looking at the other water rates. Water rates are going up.
Oh, yeah.
Anything liquid's going to cost you more.
Yes.
Drink a beer.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, host Saul Sines asked the president and CEO of El Paso Water if he believes water rates will continue to climb. Saul also asked spokesman for AAA if he can if we can see gas prices coming down anytime soon. Their answers are Sunday night at ABC 7 Extra after ABC 7 at 10.
We got a roster of flyboys in here. Is that a compliment? I don't know. Dan Taylor's. You're the first guy on my left, so there you are.
Here I am.
Here you are. And then what do you do?
I do everything that they don't want to do. So I work on the airplanes. Sometimes I get to fly the airplanes and fix different things, but I'm not the man in charge.
Next guy's not in charge either. His name is Cliff Bossy. He's a volunteer. You're in charge of your own time.
In theory.
In theory. Okay. You got one more guy in the room, Mike Epp. Mike is the only guy who really has a legal voice here, right?
He's the jefe.
And the noise you hear is a microphone passing between these two guys, and it's just the way it is. But, Mike, you're executive director, and so far so good. About a year's worth, huh?
Yeah, that's correct. And I come from an aircraft maintenance background and a pilot background as well.
Okay. And Melissa had mentioned that there's a lot of displays that we really haven't talked about. You got airplanes hanging around, sitting around, flying around or not. But you got displays. What are those?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we got the 39 airplanes, the 57 cars, and we've got probably at least 30 displays around the museum. Artifacts mostly, donations, almost all of them, different photographs, historical uniforms. We've got helmets. We've got, for example, a guy brought in a thing, a porcelain grenade from World War II.
Oh, my God.
Because at the end of the war, the Japanese were running out of steel, and they were preparing for the invasion of the homeland, which the atomic bomb actually preempted. But yeah. Everybody knew that tension, it was going to happen. And so they made porcelain hand grenades.
Wow.
And when you think about glass like that, porcelain shattering, it'd be just as deadly as
I would think that'd
steel.
Be a problem.
Yeah.
And plus carrying it, too, would be a problem, too.
Yeah. Or trying to find the fragments on an X-ray or whatever. But,
yeah.
But I'd never even heard of that. But we've just got tons of stuff. And after, when I first moved here 24 years ago, the Air Museum was one of the first places I went. And I went continuously until I retired. I became a volunteer like Cliff and then later was offered a job and stuff. But here I am 24 years later. And just last week, I found a little display that I had not seen before in 20-something years. We have stuff. Everywhere.
Yeah.
All over the museum. We've got odds and ends and unique things. And
you could spend an hour or two there at least.
Oh,
at least.
I would think so. Yeah. You know, go out there at 10 a.m. and book lunch at La Posta at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
Yeah, sure.
And go up the river.
And run up Highway 28.
Yeah,
there
go up the river. Yeah.
Get some wine.
Forget Dan to drop you off. He'll just drop you off over there and see ya.
Jump.
But that whole the whole airport's just booming. You know, in 1989 when they built the museum was just about the only thing out there along with a few private hangars. But now with the port of entry at Santa Teresa, and they just opened up the railroad port of entry at Santa Teresa.
And the weather guys have always been there, haven't they?
Yeah, the weather guys have been out there forever. And then they've got they moved the train yards from El Paso.
The intermodal system.
Over out there. So then you've got all the Maquila traffic coming north. You've got the
there's
airport.
Some manufacturers over there, too, yeah.
Oh, yeah, huge manufacturers. And then the Maquilas are on our side. You know, the Maquilas are just growing every day. There's more and more stuff out there. And there's more businesses going out there, aviation-related businesses. We've got Skydive El Paso is out there right next door to us. We also have the Red Arrow Flight Academy, which is out there. It's a top aircraft flight school.
Is that Deborah Rothschild?
No, that's Tomas Barata.
Okay.
Tomas and his sister.
She used to fly helicopters out there. You have any helicopters out there?
We've got service. Well, we've got some public. We've got some private helicopters that are owned out there. Mike McNamee, the gentleman that we talked about before, he's got an OH-6 that he flies.
But no public service helicopters.
No,
per se?
Not per se. We now Fort Bliss, the Apaches and the Blackhawks come over and train almost every day at the airport because it's an 8,000-foot long runway and it's not as busy as El Paso International.
Oh, so be easier, yeah.
Then Customs CBP comes over with their helicopters and trains and stuff as well.
Well, let me ask you about this. You've got an airport there, but as I recall, there was no particular tower.
No, there still isn't.
How does that work? Yeah. Hey, everybody, here I come. Look out. I want to run my
pretty. It is. Yeah, it's a unicom frequency.
Wait a minute. I'm on that runway. And then what do you do?
Well, everybody has to be polite and take turns.
I see.
But everybody has to transmit, broadcast out what their intentions are. And pilots are pretty good about it. You're trained from day one.
Well, you don't want to bump into each other. I mean,
well, you really don't want to do that.
No.
Yeah. That's usually a bad day
when
that happens. But and it's getting busy. I mean, I think that the airport has resurfaced their runway. They're planning another longer runway, a heavier runway, that will take up to 300,000-pound cargo aircraft. And when you see that happen, I think that the freight business is going to expand like crazy out there at that airport.
Oh, I would bet, yeah.
And our quiet little west side of El Paso is not going to be so quiet anymore.
No, it's getting noisier all the time.
It is.
Because I sit in the backyard and the jets come over. And yeah.
That's progress, you know, but I personally like the sound of airplanes.
Oh, I don't mind them too much.
I like it.
The good thing about the new runway is they're actually going to aim it into the prevailing winds so you don't have a crosswind every time you take off and land.
Wouldn't that have been something to take into account the first time? No.
No, they used the wind rows from Deming, and they said, well, the wind in Deming must be just like it is here. Of course, there's a big mountain to the southwest, and so that blocks the wind, so it makes it prevailing from the west instead of the southwest.
So your pilots have had to take off with
a
crosswind.
It's a standard procedure.
And that's why it's a good place to learn how to fly.
If the winds are calm, we can't land because we're going all over the runway.
Yeah. What they call crab legging when you're coming in? That's scary.
Did we cover the exhibits that Melissa was referring to?
Yeah.
You had some specifics in mind, Melissa?
Well, I was also thinking about the gift shop. I bought gifts for people that I know were plane fanatics.
Yes,
gift shop.
And Father's Day is coming up.
Oh, good point.
And what fathers don't like stuff about airplanes.
Oh,
we have a very nice gift shop. We've got everything from leather jackets to Hawaiian shirts, toys for the kids. We've got coffee mugs. Keychains, we've got all that kind of stuff that's available. We have hundreds of items that are for sale in our gift shop.
And the kids can run around out there, too. It wears them out a little bit. I mean, you want to keep them off of things, but at the same time, it's a good place for kids to go and see and learn because they see things they've never seen before.
Well, Andrew, picture number 9. Let's go there. What is it, Tupolev?
Yeah, the TU-2. Yeah,
what is that?
Well, here's Cliff to tell us about it.
Mr. Cliff.
Tupolev TU-2. It was a Russian medium, best to say attack airplane, because everything on the Eastern Front was low level. This airplane was kind of designed like a tank. It could carry a pretty good amount of bombs, had 20 or 30 millimeter cannons, I can't remember which, in the wings.
You got that up, Andrew?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, there were... I'm trying to remember how many were built. Not as many as I would have expected. I think it was around 3,000.
And the next one's a Corsair. Move on to that one, Andrew. What is that? Devout F4U.
That is the fighter plane the Navy flew in World War II that everybody is familiar with. It kind of supplanted and later replaced the F6F Hellcat. If you look at the airplane, it's kind of a weird design, but everything on it has a purpose. Ours initially, the outer wing panels were fabric covered from the wing spar back, and sometime in the 50s, those were replaced with metal. A friend of ours who has since passed away, Frank Arafat, who was also a volunteer, spent 30 years rebuilding one, and he pointed out to me there are some anachronistic items like fabric covering, yet the fuselage was spot welded, which at 1939-1940 was state of the art. It's an important airplane for us. It was an important airplane for the French. The French used it in Indochina in the 1950s, and it continued flying for the French Navy up until, I think, 1960-1962.
And so what you've been doing, you've been researching the particular planes in the building. And getting an archive of them going.
Correct.
Okay.
And the Corsair did see action, and it did have a bullet hole in it. So.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, so move on to the cars. Number 11, Andrew, 1920. By the way, the secret man behind the curtain named Andrew.
Andrew Polk.
He's the guy Monday through Friday with Talk El Paso, Andrew J. Polk. That's
there
him.
There we go.
Yay.
That's him. I'll bang on the table. But Andrew J. Polk is Talk El Paso Monday through Friday. If you haven't caught that act, that's an amazing free-for-all you do every day, Andrew, although the free-for-all Friday is when they open up the phones and anything happens. And so that's Monday through Friday here on KTSM, and that's at 4 to 5 p.m. All right, moving on to the 1929 Ford Model A coupe. Who used to have that car? Anybody know where it came from?
Well, that was one of Mr. McGuire's purchases. Yeah. And he had a bunch of really unique ones. I think that one he purchased in Marfa and went through the process of fixing it up. Of course, you could spend a fortune on any vehicle to restore it, but it's a good restoration and a good example of what the model was all about.
And the next one is a 1931 Chrysler Model 8 Deluxe. A Deluxe.
That was one, I believe, that our former director, Bob Dockendorf, had his hand in as far as getting it to the museum. It was a business coupe, I believe, right?
Yeah,
and there's that era of cars where the aerodynamics and the smooth flowing lines really made it appealing, and it's a really good example of the evolution of cars as they've progressed through the time.
Is that a purple car? It is a purple car. I thought that was just me and the fluorescent lighting in that thing. That's pretty bizarre. And then the next one is a...
That was a Accord, wasn't it? Is the purple one a Accord, or is it a...
That one is a Chrysler Model
Chrysler.
8 Deluxe.
Oh, that's the... Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you had
number
yellow
13,
one
the next
there.
The next picture okay. is an Auburn 851, 1935. And if you're wondering what we're doing on the radio talking about pictures, we're not that crazy. We do this on Facebook as well, just so you know. We are streaming this live on Facebook for those of you who think those radio people are talking pictures.
On the El Paso History Radio
missing,
Show Facebook page.
Am I missing something? Like,
there's the cord.
You do that and it comes out through the microphone?
That's the cord.
No, it doesn't do that.
Auburn.
Oh, look at that.
That's the Auburn Boattail Speedster.
Love to drive one of those.
It has a plaque on it, and the plaque says, on this specific date, the vehicle went its top speed over 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
And that thing is also, I know that the cords, and this one specifically, there was one more, that they were designed on aerodynamics in the sense of what the airplanes were coming out as.
Yes.
Because I remember there was one, used to even have a tail on the back of it that, remember for the movie Topper, you'll see that. It has a tail, like an airplane tail in the back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what's this is the boat tail.
That one also has a turbocharger. Turbocharged straight eight.
Wow.
Disc brakes. It was a modern car.
Oh, yeah. What did it cost back then? Any idea?
More than I could afford.
Yeah.
They were very expensive.
All right. We're talking about War Eagles Air Museum, and they also have a bunch of cars out there. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about a few more cars. Other than that, Dan Taylor is going to go to lunch at Pepe's today.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be wonderful.
I may get the combo number one.
You know, oh, that's even better.
Get it ready.
And whatever. Wherever you go, the combo number one's always good.
Well, you got to see what they got in this place. What's their combo number one? And I think, Andrew, you going to go to lunch? Well, oh, boy, Andrew's going to get Mexican food today.
Oh,
and
yay.
Melissa, we know you're going.
Yeah, I'm going, Bernie. Well, and then we're running off to marry some people. So.
Well, we live out there on Saturday, so that's where that is. All right.
I hope a bunch of the friends of the museum decide to come and join us today. You know,
I hope
Maybe it's been a long time since you've been out to the museum and just come over to Pepe's. At least have a glass of tea with us if you don't want to have lunch.
It's a bucket list, and that's how I list it, as being a bucket list museum for the area.
6761 Donovan Drive. What happens when you go there?
You get great food.
You're at Pepe's. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Taking a break, come back in a minute, and do the button thing.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Okay, dads. It's time to do the Cabbage Patch, the Running Man, or something more contemporary, the Floss. Dance like a dad. Learn more at fatherhood.gov. Sponsored by the Ad Council.
Does your child seem overly forgetful, always zoom, or take forever to get ready? While some of that is normal, it could also be a sign of a learning and thinking difference. At Understood, we're here to help. With 24 million visitors to our site each year,
We help people with learning and thinking differences discover their potential and find community. Visit understood.org/iHeart to learn more about how we can help you or someone you love.
Cause of Ewing GMC, the leader in stimulating the used car market in the El Paso Southwest, is doing it again. Buy any car, SUV, or truck in our tremendous used car inventory for only $77 down.
That's it? $77?
That's right, $77. One owner trade, three concessions, lease returns, insurance recoveries, and even government retired vehicles.
Like this new 2019 Nissan Sentra, $77 down. Or this 2018 Chevy Cruze, $77 down.
Financing available through more than 20 local banks and credit unions. Buy here, pay here, financing by La Casita. Buy any car, SUV, or truck for only $77 down.
Cause of Ewing GMC, Montana at Airwave.
Find the employees you need to get your business moving. Sign up with iHeartAdBuilder.com and create a custom radio ad to reach job seekers listening to stations just like this one. Get started today at iHeartAdBuilder.com.
Newt Gingrich here, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Newt's World. Most people know me as the former Speaker of the House, but I'm also a historian with a wide range of interests. I enjoy talking with experts in their field and the most interesting people across a variety of subjects. I release 4 episodes of Newt's World every week with an effort to excite the imagination of our audience, and hopefully you'll learn something new each time you listen. Listen and subscribe for free to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you there? Are we here? Are you ready to talk? Guess what?
What?
The city of El Paso is going to reopen the Museum of Archaeology. Yay! Yay! The Museums and Cultural Affairs Department, known as MCAD, is excited to announce the reopening of the El Paso Museum of Archaeology, 4301 Trans Mountain Road, beginning Thursday, June 24th. The COVID-19 nonsense pandemic forced the closure of the museum in March of 2020. The reopening of the museum comes under advisement from the Department of Public Health and Office of Emergency Management. They got official permission. And part of the continued reactivation of the city's services, the reopening of the Museum of Archaeology, along with the reopening of the Camp Cohen Water Park, are great illustrators of our commitment to enhancing the quality of life in Northeast El Paso and for all El Pasoans, BS. And said Cultural Affairs and Recreation Manager, Director Ben Fife. The Museum of Archaeology will be open from 9 to 5, Thursday through Saturday. That's in alignment with the days of the other museums downtown. So it's going to be short, but it'll be there.
Yeah, and visitors will be able to enjoy the exhibition From the Edge of the Center, the Chacon Outliers. The exhibit includes many artifacts from the museum's permanent collection, as well as objects on loan from the Salmon Ruins located near Farmington, New Mexico, and the San Juan County Museum Association. About the El Paso Museum of Archaeology, the museum features 14,000 years of prehistoric history in the El Paso area and the greater Southwest and northern Mexico, and has dioramas, exhibits. It's just another great museum. People need to go. It's great to get the kids. Kids are always amazed in there. They love it. So head on out there.
Well, they've got great dioramas in there and big pictures in the... And have you been there?
Oh, you bet. It's great.
And you know, you walk into the one section on the right-hand side.
With the mammoths?
The mammoths. And a bunch of, you know...
Have the spears.
Stick figure guys sticking this poor little mammoth. Do you realize that's a baby mammoth?
Wow, I didn't know that.
That's actual size, but if a real one was there, his head would be up outside the roof.
So that's woolly mammoth venison? That's what you're... not venison. What is it? The young cow? Cattle?
Bison?
Never mind.
That's a cow.
I lost my jaw. I screwed up my jaw.
I have no idea where that
went. We know airplanes.
Yeah, let's talk airplanes.
Okay, veal. It was veal. That's what
this is our last segment. Veal. We're almost gone. So how do you get a hold of... How do you get to this museum? What do you do? How do you get there? What's the phone number?
The phone number is 575-589-2000. It's right up Artcraft. Easiest way is off I-10, Artcraft exit. Go west across the valley. You go
Follow
all the way
sign.
Across the valley, and you come up back out of the valley next to the industrial park. The light up there is airport. and you make a right, and you follow it through all the maquilas, through the factories, and there we are.
Generally, you head for that big antenna with the weather guys.
Yeah.
You're next door to that.
The landmark is the big weather station with the giant radome up on top of it.
And what hours are you open?
We're open 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock, Wednesdays through Sundays. We're closed Mondays and Tuesdays.
And you have pretty good signage out there to find the museum, too, right?
Yeah, it is. There's signs that lead the way. And we're thinking about trying to open up on Tuesdays again. We used to be open or closed only on Mondays, and we'd like to get back to that. But right now, we're still closed Monday, Tuesday.
Great place to go.
Yeah,
and take a look at. What would you say, Dan Taylor, is the reason somebody should go there?
If a person wants to learn about World War II, if a person wants to learn about aviation, we have a great exhibit for Continental Airlines. We have a lot of things about the airline's early years. People wanting to get into aviation as far as being a pilot, learning about scientific things about the engineering behind aviation, learning about the Wright brothers. You cannot safely look at everything within 4 hours, in my opinion. If you want to look at everything, it takes a lot of time. It's a well worth your time.
Cliff, why go there?
We have a resource in some of our docents. We have people who have history tied to aviation, tied to the military, tied to various aspects of life that can add a lot to experience. We have a former B-52 aircraft commander.
That's close. But it's just a guy.
We have the pilot. We need the airplane.
Yeah. Tell him to bring his toys next time.
And he flew B-47s also.
Yes. Wow. Oh, wow. That's a weird airplane.
And so you can do great tours, too, with both private groups and with schools. And
you'll take school tours, sure.
Yes. And a lot of times there'll be somebody wandering around in the museum, one of the docents, one of the volunteers, that will be more than happy to provide tours, background information.
Take a look at it, folks. It's out there on the horizon in Santa Teresa, New Mexico. You can't miss it, right?
No, you can't
miss it.
Got to go. It's
Gentlemen, thank you very much for being here today. We'll see some of you at Pepe's. Other of you at home duties because you got to go do that. Melissa, we'll see you out there.
I need to bum a ride from you.
And Andrew, you're going out there. We have a full car. It'll be great stuff. Everybody else, we'll see you next week or at Pepe's today. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.